You're listening to the Jag One Podcast Show. I am in Jacksonville, Florida. What's up, people? Listen, we're in the Sunshine State. My people in Maryland say, what the are you doing down there? Right? They say, what you doing? But my thing is, I'm down here because this is where I was born and I was raised at. And I've been down. This is like my third trip down here this year. I want to give the people here a lot of praise. Because you just are coming off of a major election where Andrew Gillum fought with Mr. DeSantis. Don't monkey this thing up. And you came close. And I think at the end of the day, they're still doing some recount numbers as well, too. From us in Maryland, we're proud of the work that you've done. We took the House already. The House is ours. You came close. So we see that the work you're doing. But my thing is, we need a little bit more. And we're going to get a little bit more because now we come to help out a little bit. So that's why we're here. Now, my show, what we do is we educate. Who do we educate? Not just the folks out there in the communities. We educate me as well, too, because I need to learn everything. We motivate. We motivate folks who need to be motivated. We inspire folks, people who are down, especially black men who are down. We inspire them. Okay? And that's what we do. So as we go out in these communities and things of that nature, a lot of people talk. We're not about talking. I received a letter from your mayor. How do y'all feel about your mayor, Mr. Lenny Kerr? Email. Is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy? What he said to me is, he says, I'm interested in whatever you're doing, right? And I want you to let me know what services and things you need. Okay? I'm not making this up. He emailed it to me, and I'm going to do that. But here's the deal. I'm not from here. So my thing is, right, since you guys are here, we're going to take questions, we're going to write them up, and we're going to send it to him. And we're going to see what he does. Now, again, I'm not making any promises to say he's going to do anything, but I'm going to show you the power that you have. You have the power here. Because if he don't do anything, then you can start doing things for yourself. You get it? Remember, you got a group of people back in Maryland, in North Carolina, that's watching you, that can help you, grow. Okay? So that's why we're here. That's what we do. I'm Jack. We're in Jacksonville Wind Lab Studio. I'm here with Mr. Nate Daniel Borden. What's up, cuz?
All right, what's going on?
How you feeling? How are you feeling?
All right, so far so good.
I want you to discuss a little bit for us, you know, some of the projects and some of the things that you're doing in Jacksonville, Florida, for me, please.
Yes, sir. Right now, I'm the president of Fairway Oaks Homeowners Association, and we've been in a fighting battle here with the city of Jacksonville and also with Habitat for Humanity. And Habitat's here in Jacksonville. And basically, they built our homes on the old city dump, which used to be
Old city dump.
It used to be called Castellino dump.
Uh-huh.
And it's adjacent to the Doughboy dump site as well. And they put our houses down there, knowing that, I'm saying, nothing was done to the land prior to us moving out there. And within 5 years, our houses started sinking.
Oh.
So within 5 years, they had to come out there and actually start jacking up a few houses.
Uh-huh.
And after jacking up those houses, they come back out 2 years later to see that those houses, they put on some of the beams that went down 50 feet in the ground, and they were still sinking.
Okay, so I'm a little confused. So you come in, the house starts sinking, right? You still living in it when they're jacking this thing up? Really?
People are still living in the houses as of this day.
Oh, my God.
You know, and just recently, just last year, we was able to actually find a lawyer to actually take our case named Jack Crumbie, and he actually a good lawyer from Miami. He's actually taking our case, and we actually have a lawsuit now filed against the city and Habitat for Humanity.
Okay. So, so where does the mayor stand? I know we talked earlier about the mayor and where he was.
At first, we're reaching out to the mayor with the news stations. We're reaching out to all the city council, reaching out to all our senators, Congress. We've been in touch with Congressman Al Lawson, and prior to him was in touch with Congresswoman Corrine Brown. But we actually, when we went back to the mayor, our first thing was with the mayor, we wanted him to actually come out and actually look at the house for itself. So instead, he decided to go along with what Habitat was saying, that the house was actually stricken from a lack of maintenance.
Wow.
So when he did actually put that statement on the news, we did a protest. We actually told the mayor, well, if you feel like you want to side with Habitat, you need to come out here.
So you went to the news. Did you go to? You went to the news organizations in Jacksonville, or
all the news organizations.
You told them what the deal was.
We told them what the deal was. Right. And so they came out there while we was doing the protest and asked the mayor to come out. So the next day, the mayor's office called me and decided they wanted to come out and actually see for themselves what was going on with the houses. So when the mayor actually came out there, he said if this was his mom and dad's house, they'll be a lot more frustrated than we were. You know, so he was actually able to see firsthand what was going on. But yet, and still, no one has done nothing. You know, it took us to actually file a lawsuit against the city. And all we was asking from the beginning was to just be relocated.
Right.
You know,
right.
We just wanted to get off the land. We were saying not living in the houses that's sinking and possibly causing contamination.
How much participation from the homeowners in that organization did you get? Did you get 100%?
We got 100%.
Wow, that's what I'm talking about.
Everybody's that actually original owners that live out there is named in on the lawsuit.
There we go. Okay. So everything is looking good. You're just now sitting back
and waiting. We go back to court here on November 30th with the city in Habitat. Basically, we was at the stage where they was actually trying to dismiss our case at the beginning of the year, so it was going back and forth with the dismissals. So finally, the judge has not dismissed our case. So the next best thing for us is that we're going to trial.
I got you. See, I think what will be good in a situation like this, you know, if Mr. Andrew Gilliam had won, if the mayor wouldn't do anything, you can say, hey, look, brother, here's we go. This is the situation. This is what we went over. These are the people are living in these conditions. Mm-hmm. And at least he would at least listen to you and hear what you had to say.
And Andrew Gilliam already know, because when we came and was campaigning here, I was able to actually talk to him.
See, that's what
I was able to talk to him and give him an update on what was going on there.
Right. Well, it's going to be very interesting now that Mr. DeSantos is here, and see if you when you start speaking to him about those same issues and see what they do for you as well too.
Yes,
you know what I mean? But again, you learn. You learn. Again, if you're doing the right thing, you jumping on top of it. You're doing what you need. You're activating, and I love it. I want to also thank you too, because you the next guest that we're going to have here on this show here, we're going to close out this segment, is a young lady that I talked to along the way on this trip, and she is doing some amazing and awesome things, man. And I don't know how you hooked up with her. She talked highly of you, how she met you, and we're going to bring her in. And you keep doing your thing, brother. If you need something and things that need to, just put it out there. When I saw you, it's funny, I saw you on Facebook with a shirt. I wanted a shirt. You know what? I need it. We're going to close out, everybody. You listen to the Jag One Podcast Show. Welcome to the Jag One Podcast Show, Ms. Anderson.
Many thanks for having me.
Tell us a little about some of the things that you do, please.
Well, my professional background is in finance, mainly in the mortgage side of finance. But a few years back, I got involved with the East Side. I was asked to work on a grant of the Department of Health, and from that grant, we were awarded some funding to work on creating access to healthy food, mainly in the East Side and urban core.
Okay.
So, that opportunity sort of kick-started a lot of the grassroots efforts for the East Side, mainly starting with access to food to that part of the community, because there are no grocery stores.
You're right.
In that area, town.
When you came and you start getting involved on that side of town, did it seem strange to you that, you know, everywhere you go, there used to be two stores on the corner, right? Now I guess it's one. Everybody in that area right there, if they don't have a car, walks there to that store. Why there are not more stores? Why there's not? Why isn't there a library around there for the folks? And that's I think those are the things that bothers me. In those, there's no growth. There's nothing that's going on. You're coming from a organic point where you're trying to teach kids, you know, to grow their own foods. But where is it? Where is it over there? They can actually plant and do any agriculture over there, though.
Right. I mean, in terms of your traditional, you know, farming. Obviously, there's no space for something like that because it's an urban area. But urban farming and urban forestry or permaculture those are methods that have been worked on over the years to create a food system that's sustainable in urban neighborhoods, as well as help to reduce the carbon footprint. So, urban farms, urban forestry has become quite popular. You know, I would say over the last 5 to maybe 10 years. But you're right, you did touch on something. The urban farming in the east side or any urban area can be a particularly difficult challenge.
Yes.
Because of lack of space.
You're right.
Well, so that certainly is a challenge, but there are ways to sort of overcome that hurdle by utilizing public property.
Mm-hmm.
As one filler, as well as the schools and vacant lots.
Right. And not only that, that's the growth of foods. And then what about the meats and things of that nature? You know, where are the areas for them to, you know, there's no areas there for them to do that. Especially when speaking to you, you're saying that there was so much pollution over there by Talleyrand Road.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's quite a bit of industry along Talleyrand, which is a little farther east of the urban core. But still less than a mile from Matthew Gilbert Middle School, which is right there next to your Payne Street Expressway.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about the proximity of Talleyrand to the neighborhood, it's really, really close.
Mm-hmm.
But that is, that part of Jacksonville is considered the east side of Jacksonville. So you mentioned something about economic. Why is the economic activity so stagnated?
Yes.
In the east side? Well, if you think about the historical context of the East Side and how important that part of Jacksonville was to African American community, as well as the entire Jacksonville after the fire happened, the East Side remained pretty well intact, and A. Philip Randolph, corridor in the East Side areas were. Those businesses remained open.
Can I stop you? Can I stop you 1 second? What fire? What? When was this? When?
Jacksonville had a major fire in the early 1900s.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
And that fire destroyed the city.
Okay.
But the east side was fairly untouched by that fire. Yeah. But then you have, as well, if you come to, just kind of bring your focus into current day,
uh-huh.
I mean, you have the sports complex, you have the memorial building, you have the baseball, fairgrounds, there's so much going on in the east side and so close to the neighborhood. However, the east side, when you look at the health stats, when you look at the economic stats, when you look at the low graduation rate. I mean, it's third world country statistics and numbers.
Listen,
so one must ask the question, why?
What is
happening with the neighborhood of the East Side relative to the economic, I should say, the economic boredness of some of the, of some of the central sports complexes there right next to the East.
I'm flipping through my papers right now trying to pull up some stats, but here's a stat that really baffled me, and I want you to think about this. I want you folks to really think about this now. Here's the deal. The average mean for a black male on the east side, you know how much money he makes? $16,000 a year. Now if you divide that up by 12, and this is what he's making a year, a male. Okay, you get it? And you say, well, what is, again, and again, I'm not trying to knock anybody, but it's wrong for me to sit up and say that, that's what they're making, and on the north side, they're making much more. See, you see what I'm saying? There's a very big imbalance in that. It's just crazy to me.
Right. So when you look at connecting the dots to what you consider the potential economic stability opportunities for the East Side, those dollars don't translate or trickle down into the neighborhood, right? And so I firmly believe that education, or lack thereof, obviously is a complex issue. There's no one answer. Mm-hmm. But education, I think, is at the core of some of the problems.
Where do we start that education with? With everyone? Do we start with the kids? Where do we start? I'm asking, where do we start? We need to have a plan.
It's very complex.
Yes, we need to have a plan.
The other issue is skilled labor. So for those folks that may not go on to college, just having a skilled trade when they graduate high school, it can create some economic stability for that high school graduate. And skilled trades in those industries that pull those skilled workers from those trades that are in most need can do wonders for a lot of families and a lot of folks that may not go on to college that specifically live in the East Side. We're talking about a specific demographic of people. So I think that's something that's missing when the skilled trade vocational skill trades were taken away from the schools. I think that was a huge detriment to the East Side and other predominantly African American communities. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, a lot of those families don't have the resources, or they're not college ready, but there are trades that are in high demand that pay really well, mm-hmm. If you have that skill. So I think it's certainly a complex, there's no one answer to that question.
Okay, right.
There's layers of answers, and you sort of have to sit back and analyze all of them.
And the reason I'm asking is because you got to start somewhere. You got to dig into the core. And find out what is the issues. Agreed. And where do we start. So again, for the single mothers that are living on the East Side, I know you said you went and you knocked on doors and things of that nature. What are their issues? What are their problems? Do they have programs and things of that nature for them that can help them out maybe with babysitting and stuff like that?
Right. And so my work really focused in on the students.
Oh, okay. I got you.
K-8.
I got you.
And in the programs that I wrote and implemented with the students, those programs translated to events at the school that parents were invited to attend and be a part of that process, right?
So how much attendance did you get?
In that, I met a lot of parents.
Okay.
Of the students that I worked with over the 3-4 years that I worked, that I ran those programs in the school. And there's, again, no one answer, right? And you don't want to dig too deeply into a family's personal business either. And then I think as well, you also want to be very cautious and careful, because I think it's really, really important to kind of stand back and not write the narrative for a population, a community, I should say, of people in the East Side, because every family household has a different story. And so, yeah, we can look at the data, we can look at the stats, and we know what the data tells us, mm-hmm. but that data doesn't speak to individual families, and what their individual concerns are. So really, to get that answer, you've got to talk to the folks that live in that community and get their narrative.
Agree. And you know what, again, that's what I said. In the first segment, what I said to them is, in reaching out to the mayor, he basically said to us, send us his issues and his concerns. And best believe I will be knocking on doors. I'm going to ask folks, and I will forward them. Now, do I think he'll do anything? I don't know, like I said. But at least I promise you he will have them, and he will get them from me. And then we can start working on issues so the people can start working inward while we wait,
right.
If that's the case.
Important to mention that when you mention programs, programs aren't the fix all to end all either.
Agreed.
A lot of those programs are duplicated, they work in silo. So what one program is doing isn't really speaking to another program, and then those two programs are speaking to the other program, to really sort of determine what resources are really lacking in the community. But one of the things I talk a lot about is creating access, right? So some of the basic things to have a healthy urban community, particularly for the East Side, because that's our subject matter here, but is to have a grocery store, right? Is to have doctors in the area.
Let's get one. Don't say it. Let's get one.
Healthcare, you know.
Let's do it. Let's get
the jobs, because if people aren't feeling well, then they won't go to work or they won't perform at their jobs. And so one of the, in the East Side, in the urban core, a lot of things stand out to me, but one of the things that stands out to me a lot is the lack of a grocery store, mm-hmm. and as well the lack of access to medical care. So there are no care spots.
Well, I'll take that. I'm going to take that grocery store in mind. I want a library. That's what I want. So, again, you can take some of those kids away from the, you know.
We have a library.
You do, on the East Side?
The library is there right next. It's actually it's a library that was formed by African-Americans.
Beautiful.
Years
Love
back.
It. Love it. Love it. Where is that? Where is it?
Okay, so the Brown Library, which is one of my big meeting hubs.
Hey.
Right there, is next to Gilbert, so it's near Franklin Street.
Great.
So there is a library in the neighborhood, and it's a historical. It's actually the Brown Library is a historical structure. The library was actually formed out of African Americans being not allowed to enter the main library downtown, so they started their own library in the East Side. So the Brown Library is actually a historical structure, and I truly believe it should be marked as such. There's a lot of firm history at the Brown Library. So we do have a library.
Okay, great, great. So we wrote, so I'll work with you. We'll work on growth. Here's the thing, Ms. Anderson. I must let you go, but I want you to take me to that library. Okay. So you can show me around and and we can sit down and we talk. I have to close out this segment. Thank you. Thank you so very much for everything, and I will be reaching out to you. Thank you. Take care. All right, everyone. You listen to the Jaguan Podcast Show. That's where I was born. That's where I was raised. And I started noticing over a period of time, each time I come here, that area, that side of town still is the same. It looks the same. There's no growth. Nothing is going on. And so you wonder why Jacksonville is growing and doing J-A-G. Great things in your side of town. Look, he's looking bad.
It's your boy, Cyree. I'm back again.
Welcome back, everyone. You listen to the Jag One Podcast Show. I'm Jag. I have a special guest with me, Mr. Funny Bone. I want to talk to you here today about this Amendment 4. Now, before we start, I have this picture in my mind that people who have been locked up and who have been felons, they no longer can vote, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, so now somebody basically put this out there for the folks in Florida to vote upon, and the citizens in Florida said they need to be made whole again, correct?
Absolutely.
Right. Right. Now, here's my thing. It puts a check and balance on the judges. You get it?
Mm-hmm.
See, the judges are the ones that lay down the laws for the folks that go to jail. So now, see, so when he has an attitude and he comes around and he keeps saying certain things, now you have a right to vote him or her out. You get what I mean?
Absolutely.
There you go. Love it. So talk to me a little bit about Amendment 4 for you and some of the...
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, you know what I first heard about? That it came through that, you know, certain ex-felons, you know, can be able to have their rights restored. It was a blessing to me because sometimes I think that a lot of people look at jail as a bad thing, but sometimes jail can save people's lives and it can change their lives. And I see it. I see life as a race. And sometimes your life can be going so bad, you got to take a pit stop to refuel.
Wow.
And sometimes jail can be that spot where you can refuel from. My family know everything I did wrong and all that. But when I took a pit stop to go to jail, honestly, it changed my life, man. Made me a better person, made me a better husband, better father, better brother, better brother-in-law. You know, it made me better all around.
But can I say something right quick?
Yeah, go ahead, bro.
It's a big misconception. And you know what I mean? It's a big misconception by other folks on the other side to basically think that, you know what, since you've been in jail, you know what I mean, you can't do. You can't do nothing, or you're a waste to society. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you know, one thing I can say about that is that we live inside the day and time that the person who go to jail is a criminal, but you got a lot of criminals that never went to jail before.
No, that's right.
You know what I'm saying? Sometimes the person that went to jail, you know, may be the blessed one. Yeah. You know, because sometimes people keep doing stuff until they get caught. Mm-hmm. So, I kind of see it truthfully as those who has been locked up as truthfully as a blessing, you know, because honestly, it definitely changed my life and it definitely made me see life a little bit different, but it also made me understand. I may not be able to get through the same books an ordinary person may get into, but at the same time, it's still going to be doors that God going to have open for me to get into. So being able to vote, you know, have your rights by restored to vote, I think it's a great thing, man, because, you know, it's almost like having a debt to pay.
Right,
if
right.
you paid your debt, and you paid your debt in full, I don't owe you anything no more.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I paid my debt. You know, yeah. I paid my debt, you know. So I don't want to leave jail and go back to jail, and you know, in society, I should be able to leave jail and have my freedom and everything that my dignity, the whole nine, you know, restored back to me.
Exactly, exactly. And you know, my thing, I don't think it goes all the way, but it's a start. Like, you know, it's a start. Because when you start saying, when you start doing that, and then you start, when you start applying, and when that, have you ever been a felon that's taken off those jobs applications? When that comes off next, then we can start being made even whole as well, too. And that's what blocks us from being able to get good quality jobs. You're talking about men. You're talking about men, Funny Bone, on the east side. Again, I was talking to the other young lady, making $16,000 a year on an average, right? Men. And so you say, so, you know, these jobs, they can't get jobs because felons on the application. That's all I want to say. We get, that's what we're going to, that's what we could work on and start working on next as well, too.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Totally agree with that. Yeah, it's definitely not easy. Honestly, you know, we live, it's like by being locked up before, but those have been locked up, they know that every day that, you know, we wake up, you know, we have to walk on eggshells and lights. You know, and it's just one of those things that, you know, like you said, when you fill out job applications and when you see that sign say, have you ever been arrested before? Check yes, then explain. You already know it. It's a 95% chance. Once you check yes, it's going to be a no-no for you to get that job, you know?
So,
it's like you already know. Like, wow, man, it's over with, you know? And they don't have to tell you the reason why they didn't hire you either, you know?
So I was just going over some statistics as well, too, about the number of folks that were locked up in prisons and stuff like that in the state. Again, and this is a great thing, like I said. So, So tell me, what projects are you working on? You know what I mean? I'm going to get you out of here. What you working on? Can I get some free tickets? Listen, let me tell you something. Hold up right now again. Since you dog me like that, right? Now you need to. I want you to give a free ticket to somebody on the east side for me to go to your show. Okay, you hear what I'm saying? On the east side only. But you
got
to do something. Dang it, I love that. I love it.
I got you covered, man.
Because they like to laugh too. They like to laugh too, brother.
Yeah.
Two tickets. The lady said two tickets.
Okay. Sounds good, man. Sounds real good. I'd be more than happy to do that.
Hey, I'm proud of you. Number one comedian in gospel in Jacksonville? Number one?
No, man. The whole state of Florida, man.
The whole. Oh, hey!
Hey,
I ain't mad at you. Hey, correct. Hey, say correction, my brother.
It's all good, man.
I got you. My brother, I'll be seeing you tomorrow, man. I ain't going to hold you up. Thanks for coming on. That's Funny Bone, everybody. You listen to the Jack on Podcast. I like that suit. Did that picture of you?